Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Everyday Bitcoin, a new Bitcoin podcast focusing on Bitcoin's adoption and its use as money, as the new everyday money standard. Today, new episode number 5 coming at you on recording December 3rd, 2025, block height 926,331 at a current price of $93,417. Price going up, price going down, people are buying, people are selling, but none of that matters. But what does matter is that today I am here, I'm joined by Mr. Ben Justman of Peony Lane Wine. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here after a long scheduling process. Just been looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm psyched to have you here. For those who don't know, well, I guess you wouldn't know, but Ben and I have been interacting for quite a while now, but it's the first time we're kind of meeting and getting in the chat. And yeah, so it's great to have you here. Yeah, and finally you made it happen. So welcome to the show. I guess just first off, can you just tell us a little bit about like your Bitcoin journey, how you, I don't know, found it, and yeah, your story in general, I guess?
Yeah, class of late 2020, kind of really got it in 2021. And when I moved back home to a year into starting my winery, so a year before I had sales, I moved home to family farm to build a house with my dad and moved in with a Bitcoiner that I've known forever and just didn't know he was a Bitcoiner. And he got me to start looking, and I started listening to Bitcoin podcasts the whole time I was building my house. So it was like this deep dive with starting a winery, building my house and figuring out Bitcoin into low time preference, building things that really last and matter, and got hooked, bought the top really hard, rode the bear market down really hard. And have just kind of been building the winery more and more towards Bitcoiners all the time.
And then, so the winery, from what I understand, your dad passed it down to you, correct?
To a degree. We planted the vines in 2004. And so as a kid, I was definitely out there every summer working on them. And he always wanted to grow all his own food, is why we moved to Colorado and why I grew up on a farm. And he got convinced to plant grapes. So he planted grapes and then started making wine more as a hobby than anything. He had a couple years where he sold it, like 2014 to 2015, and got some great reviews, but he was retired, not really looking to start a business. So after that, he's just started making enough for himself and selling the rest of the grapes. And so it was kind of a business that was extreme, you know, it was idle. There was no brand, but the functionality to at least get started was there, and the proof of concept and the quality of the wine that you could make out of the vineyard was there, which are the two hardest things. And so I just basically had to learn how to make wine and start a brand and scale up. And so I'm just finished my 7th vintage of winemaking. Wow. So the first two of that I didn't have any sales on. It was really just going for it without any proof of sales concept or proof that I could actually make wine. But those first two vintages, before I had any feedback, sold out, did well, and have just been getting better and building Peony Lane ever since.
Nice. And you you primarily started selling at farmers markets and stuff, correct?
Yeah, so the original idea was start selling at farmers markets because I've just invested all the money I have access to start making wine. And farmers markets are a way to get instant feedback without any more investment. So I was doing tastings at farmers markets in trying to be as upscale of a town as possible. So there's some ski towns around me I was able to go to. Okay. And got instant feedback that the wine was good, and I've gotten a lot better at making wine, but it got going that way. And that was always kind of the plan to start out, and I knew I would just figure out the rest of the business as I was going. So did those farmers markets for 4 years, and the initial thought was that then I would open a tasting room in my town and do the same business model that the 10 other wineries here do. But along the way, I got into the Bitcoin world and started meeting Bitcoiners, and they started buying my wine just from Twitter, basically. And they started asking to buy my wine in Bitcoin. And as a Bitcoiner, fuck yeah, you're going to pay for my wine in Bitcoin? Hell yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah. And just over the years, that became a bigger and bigger portion of my business. And in understanding Bitcoin, I didn't really want to take out any more fiat debt, or I didn't want to spend any Bitcoin that I earned on something like a tasting room. And I didn't think I would be able to get the loan structure that I wanted because of the Bitcoin and banking system.
Yeah.
So then as Bitcoiners just kept buying my wine more and more and more, and I started wanting to interact with people in the general public less and less, I realized that I just wanted to sell wine online to Bitcoiners. So now this past year has been the first year where I was 100% online sales, and essentially 100% of my sales are to Bitcoiners. So direct to consumer online business now, and don't necessarily have plans to go back to the brick and mortar world, but definitely could see that happening in the maybe 10-year future.
Okay, super cool. Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly how the spread was with in person versus pay or in person online, and obviously Bitcoin versus non-Bitcoin. So about 100% 100% is now Bitcoin. So no more Bitcoiners, USD.
I would say 30 to, it depends monthly, 30 to 50% of my sales are in Bitcoin themselves. And I think it would be higher, but I'm kind of stuck in this single point of sale system for liquor license legality reasons. They operate my ability to sell wine across state lines instead of getting 50 liquor licenses. So I'm stuck with them and they don't like Bitcoin. So I just have to have a separate checkout and manually move everything from that Bitcoin checkout into my dollar system to be able to go through the state legalities of liquor licensing. So the 30 to 50% sales in Bitcoin, I think, is pretty insane, given that it's honestly harder to order my wine in Bitcoin. So Bitcoiners are thirsty to pay in Bitcoin. For me, I think that there's some specific reasons for that, that I'm a Bitcoiner. It's just me. It's not going into some random company's treasury or just getting sold back for dollars.
Yeah.
I think it's a way for people to like orange pill their families as they pull out a bottle of wine that, whether it has Bitcoin branding or not prominently, they all have the Bitcoin logo on them. It's a way to say, hey, I bought this with Bitcoin. This is a real world thing. It's not just for criminals or whatever other FUD people have. You can't spend it. You can't buy anything with it. It's a very tangible object and a good experience to have with people. And it's kind of that perfect medium of, hey, I bought this with Bitcoin. And since we're having a glass of wine together, we're already having a good conversation. We're already hanging out. So it kind of eases that transition into talking about it. That and Bitcoiners really appreciate that I don't use a ton of additives in my wine. And once you kind of taste how you feel the difference between my wine and just any other typical wine you buy off the shelf, you're going to kind of get hooked on that.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, but for the audience, I'm recently a customer now of Peony Lane Wine. We just had our first bottle over Thanksgiving, and it was there's a big difference between with like the natural part of it and the low, extremely low sulfites and all that, and the quality is just incredible. And me and my dad and my brother were all thoroughly super impressed and super happy with our purchase, and many more purchases will be going through for sure. And I totally agree with what you said about the talking piece of like an actual real world object, like, hey, I bought this with Bitcoin. Because a lot of people, like you said, well, usually I ask every place I go, can I pay in Bitcoin? Or do you accept Bitcoin? And they're like, what? People like, you can use that to buy stuff? And it's like, yes, actually you can. And just having the physical item. And like you said, if you're having wine together, you're having good conversations and enjoying each other's company, and it's great.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah, for sure.
What's been your experience post Square adoption with asking that? I've kind of stopped. Like, I've just when I was doing in-person sales, I would interact with farmers market people, and like, they'd ask, what are all these Bitcoin people coming up to you and spending a lot of money on this? Like, can I do that? And I'd get them a wallet, and, you know, they'd forget about it, or it'd be too much of a hurdle. And they all used Square. And so I've gotten kind of tired of asking that question in person. I'll do my orange pilling to people I really care about. And I'm curious, how have you noticed the difference between the Square adoption and non-Square adoption? Like, has there been a difference in sentiment?
I would say yes. Well, for instance, the first place I went, a coffee shop near where I live, I saw on the map they were accepting it. So I swung by and I was like, do you accept Bitcoin? And they're like, I don't think so. I was like, are you sure? Cause like, it says it on the map and like that you should via your Square terminal. And I actually helped them find it, and they were like super excited. And then the next time I went in, they were like, oh, hey, like to her coworker, like, hey, this is the Bitcoin guy. And I was like, hey, but even today I went to a place on that said on the map they accept it, and they had a Square terminal, but I went in and the lady didn't understand. I was like, no, like you should, but apparently they accept it, but not through Square. That was kind of disappointing, to be honest. But I'm going to email them and be like, hey, you should enable this because you accept it, but you should accept it more easily. But I think in general, another place I went to today, Square terminal. So I was mentioning, hey, it's really easy to accept it. And the baristas were like, if we can accept it, or the owner is probably, if he'd have to accept it in Bitcoin, not interested. But if we can accept it as dollars, then for sure, I don't see a reason why. I think that's probably the biggest sentiment change is when you tell the people, the baristas, even if they're not the decision maker, that, hey, you can receive it in like dollars, Bitcoin, or a combination. I think they're much more open to the idea. Which is fine. Obviously, you know, you gotta start somewhere. Hopefully you start accepting it in general, maybe in dollars. And then over time, as you, if you're curious, educate yourself, you realize, hey, I should actually just like not convert it to dollars. But that's been my experience so far. But I still ask everybody, and it does get a little annoying getting constantly rejected. But I don't know, just trying to plant seeds everywhere I go. Maybe someone looks into it, is curious, and then you never know. I don't know where that'll go. So you don't really, you've given up on the, not given up, I gotta say, but you no longer push it so much, more so people that you care about, you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a ton of rejection. And
yeah,
it's like, I just want to go about my day and buy a coffee for the most part. I think the evangelist part of me is just a little burned out, in the sense that one, the friends when I was really evangelizing, when I first got in and my brain was blown from figuring it out, going through the crazy, oh my God, this is what Bitcoin is phase, was at the top of the 2021 pump. And anyone who I convinced to buy then wrote it down 80% and was like, this is stupid. So I've kind of easing back from the wanting to convince people to buy it and more wanting to convince people to study it. And
yeah,
I find that that's more rare and takes a deeper connection. However, I think a lot of people need touch points. And so what you're doing is providing an extra touch point for someone to get Bitcoin in the real world. Enough people do that, they start to get curious, and you never know which one is going to do that. But when I was selling wine at farmers markets, I was, you know, just crowd of people in front of me, anyone could stop by, and I had a Bitcoin preferred sign out, so it was pretty prominent. And yeah, I just had enough people, I had enough experience talking to people about it or them commenting on it, that I just kind of got tired of doing that in the public space, because that was my job. That was like, hey, I am trying specifically to be that touch point for people. I'm trying to connect my high quality local brand to Bitcoin to create this perception in their lives, like I said, that it's not criminals, it's actually like this real thing. There are real brands taking this. And I think in what I've learned about, I mean, just diving into the Bitcoiner business aspect, is like, there's a ton of businesses that I had no idea were run by Bitcoiners, and they're just like, you know, they're just running their business and stacking sats.
Yeah.
And there's not the thing I've noticed that's really interesting is they don't really know that there's this rabid base of Bitcoiners who want to buy their product and want to support them if they're not like focused on Bitcoin Twitter or Noster. And then when I share my experience with them, they're like, oh, okay, so this is a real thing. And there's all these other companies that have proven that Bitcoiners can really benefit a business of all different sizes. I mean, I was blown away by Steak and Shake.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they did that, it was like, okay, cool. Let's see, you know, let's like all these, it's like, okay, let's talk in a year. Is this going to make a difference? And I wasn't really confident that a brick and mortar store would benefit from accepting Bitcoin or being loud about Bitcoin. That said, they have much more of a footprint than most brick and mortar stores. So there's almost this middle ground when it comes to, or this, like, it doesn't work all that well for small brick and mortars that are just banking on foot traffic, or, you know, maybe if they're next to a Bitcoin hub, like the Space or the Bitcoin Commons or something, you could probably get some nice Bitcoin foot traffic and become that local area's Bitcoin place. But you need a lot of Bitcoiners to make a difference. Whereas Steak and Shake has this larger brand where Bitcoiners from all over, like whenever I go to Denver, I try and go to Steak and Shake. But a lot of that is also, they have the high quality product now. They have the beef tallow, they have the grass fed beef, they have the A2 milk. They're working on no high fructose corn syrup in their tomato or in their ketchup. So it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. You kind of like need the high quality. You need Bitcoin to attract Bitcoiners, but you also need the high quality food, the kind of MAHA movement in that to attract Bitcoiners. So they kind of did both perfectly right and were big enough to actually benefit from like scale of being on Twitter and like now anyone can go. But that's been extremely impressive to see. And I don't know. I mean, that and the Square thing is just makes me super bullish on ability to spend Bitcoin and kind of the slow seep of Bitcoin into the business owner zeitgeist, where with so many merchants use Square, and now that it's possible to just turn it on, yeah, sure, that coffee shop might just accept it to fiat. And I probably am, if I know that, I'm personally less incentivized to spend Bitcoin there. However, if I really want to make the effort, I can just have dollars on my Strike app and pay it that way, or on Cash App or something. And there's a lot of people who are probably more willing to do that than I am. So that also gives them the opportunity to, if they see a few more, like five more people like you come in, maybe I'll take 1% of my sales, because that's a super easy switch to flip. And I started doing that like 3 or 4 years ago. Square had a beta or an alpha test, and I was on the alpha test of like 30 businesses that were converting portion of the Square sales to Bitcoin every day. And it was awesome. I mean, it was great seeing, you know, I had it at a pretty low amount because I was also getting paid Bitcoin elsewhere and I needed cash, but it was pretty cool to see just like, you know, 10, 15 bucks of Bitcoin stacked every day without thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And low lift, set it and forget it. And that's the ultimate stat stacking tool, is when you can set it and forget it, and it's just a portion goes into there.
Yeah, hard agree. And I'd be curious, I'm hoping, I assume they will, that Square or Block, whatever you want to call them, they release at some point in maybe a couple months some statistics on like merchants that have turned it on, have enabled payments via Bitcoin, and like if they can even provide payment merchants that are accepting it as Bitcoin versus merchants that are accepting it as dollars. Potentially, I don't know how they could do this, if they could maybe even see if there's an increase in sales after they do turn it on. Like you said, Steak and Shake, I think they reported like 13 to 15% more, I forget if it was revenue or profits, but since they started accepting Bitcoin in comparison to their competition, which is massive. And I actually went to Steak and Shake when I was in the Houston airport on a layover. I like walked past it. I was like, oh my God, Steak and Shake. But I remember saw someone on Noster was like, apparently they don't accept it at the airport. But I still asked, and they were like, yeah, we do. I was like, what, really? And then at 6 a.m. I had a Steak and Shake burger, specifically because of the Bitcoin.
Yeah, but even like, yes, pay in Bitcoin, use Bitcoin that way. And I think that's the ultimate vote with your money. However, uh-huh. if you just like vote for Bitcoin businesses with your dollars, that's still valuable because it's up to the business to keep the Bitcoin, hold the Bitcoin, or convert it to Bitcoin. And so any revenue, any income increase is pretty awesome. And yes, we just need to see more stake and shakes, like continued success in that way. And then some Square sales data, I think, will go a long way. There's a Bitcoin rewards program that run by a company called Oshi that allows you to do Bitcoin rewards. So like instead of just random loyalty points, like your Starbucks points that whatever can get inflated, change value or everything, this is a way to do real Bitcoin back. You can withdraw it to your self-custody or you, I like if I give you 5-10% back, you can then like the goal is for you to then see that in your wallet, in the account, you can withdraw it, or I can set another incentive. If you spend that Bitcoin, it's worth more on my website if you respend it at my store. So it's a retention mechanism. And I have been friends with the founder for a long time, been wanting to get it going, but it was kind of in the back of my mind. And then I talked to the founder of Sote, Sean, Salt of the Earth, an electrolyte company. And he said that he signed that up and started advertising to Bitcoiners. He, you know, went to college with Marty, is a Bitcoiner, makes some an awesome product. And he saw that customers who claimed their Bitcoin, so like claimed the reward as opposed to letting it expire, were worth a hell of a lot more. They bought more frequently and they bought bigger. And so it absolutely worked. And more data points like that, every business is going to want to start doing that once you see more and more data points. And so as you see Bitcoin businesses succeed, more and more come. I mean, I've seen in the 4 or 5 years I've been active in it, I've seen more and more and more just doing the, not the same thing I do, but like the same thing I do in just, I'm targeting Bitcoiners. They're the best long-term bet. They really value voting with their money. And they are super passionate. They spread your product. They want to tell everyone they bought it with Bitcoin and how good it is. And they're the people that are the like most high value customers in the sense that they're going to be able to afford your product no matter what because they own Bitcoin.
Yeah, which is a big thing. And it makes you wonder, obviously, we're kind of niche in general being Bitcoiners, but I wonder like the true numbers on how many, because not everyone's super vocal about it, obviously. And like you said, you knew a business owner that was a Bitcoiner without really knowing it. But I would be super curious to know true numbers on that. And like you said, Bitcoiners, one, they have the money, the Bitcoin, but two, we're really about getting good value for the Bitcoin. So getting like a good legitimate product, which is what you're selling, obviously, with your wine. I think, yeah, if a Bitcoin business was trying to be a Bitcoin business, but wasn't actually giving a good product, they wouldn't succeed as a Bitcoin business because their audience, their market demographic, whatever you want to call it, wouldn't go for the not legitimate, you know, good product. Yes. Where was I going with that? I had something else to add. So you said you think it's good regardless, even if you, how do I say this? You said for paying Bitcoin, supporting Bitcoin businesses, even if you support in fiat, do you mean if you're like the Square terminal sending like from a fiat balance through Bitcoin's veils into fiat? Or do you mean like not like just supporting them in general?
I mean, the value, like, the big credit card companies charge more to small businesses. And so they promote Small Business Saturday and spend your money locally. And it is shown that if you spend your money in your local town, it's going to stay within the community more, right? So when you're in a city, that's a little bit harder. It's not as valuable. Like I live in a town of 2,000 people. So where I go, it matters a hell of a lot more than in a city. However, okay. We all have power to push the businesses that we want to see in the world that are creating the things we desire. We have the power to give them our energy, our money, and make them succeed in the future. And so I have cash expenses. You know, I have to pay a lot of money to buy grapes, and I can't pay in Bitcoin. So I would either have to sell Bitcoin or have fiat to spend. And so that means I need cash a lot of the year. And so if 100% of my sales were in Bitcoin, cool. But I then have to manage that portfolio, and anyone in Bitcoin who has to. And if you have a job that's a lot more consistent, it's easy to just stay humble and stack sats. But when you're running a business and accepting Bitcoin, there is a little bit more management there because your ratios can get off on how much you're actually able to save.
Interesting.
If you have, you know, a money that you need to spend, and like I have specific seasonal sales and buying grapes. And so if I think that there's a chance in 5 months, or in, I guess it'd be about 10 months from now, that Bitcoin would be a hell of a lot lower, I better, you know, I have to make sure that I can buy those grapes in 10 months.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more pertinent when we get a little bit closer. However, I have gained a ton of value just from Bitcoiners supporting me through fiat. 100% of my sales are Bitcoiners now, but only 30 to 50% are Bitcoin. And that means I can stack those sats, but I also have cash flow issues at times. So then I have to manage that portfolio. And it's just as beneficial for me to receive Bitcoin versus receive fiat. There's slight differences, but if we're talking like real large scale, the sales that I get in fiat are just as valuable to me as the ones that get in Bitcoin on like a actual bottom line perspective. However, I like 100% value the people who 100% value the big, like the people who take the effort to pay in Bitcoin more,
you know,
like go the extra mile for them in an even further sense. So you vote with your money. Your vote matters. Your vote especially can support smaller businesses. It really matters to them. And the ultimate vote with your money is Bitcoin, because you're showing that business, hey, Bitcoin matters. Keep going. Keep talking to Bitcoiners. Keep building the things that Bitcoiners want. And that's going to push things in the direction that you're probably more likely to enjoy. However, any spending, any supporting that business is going to have a lot of the same effect if they're already accepting Bitcoin. If it's their first bit accepting Bitcoin, I think your spending there, you're pushing those rails matters a lot more. It's going to orange pill. It's going to get them used to it. But like if you're buying from me or if you're buying from another Bitcoin company, it's still extremely valuable. And a lot, like we all have different cash flow management strategies, but just, I'm just saying supporting in any way goes a long way.
Okay. That's really interesting, because I guess I never thought about it that way, because I mean, I'm not a business owner. So, but it makes a lot of sense the way you laid it out. So super interesting. And then I guess, so do you see the number of your customers that are paying in Bitcoin like going up over time? Do you have like, I guess enough time has passed that you can like kind of see if there's like a steady increase, or is it kind of stayed 30 to 50% Bitcoin payments for a while?
I would say when price is up, people are more paying in Bitcoin, and when price is down, people are paying more in fiat. But it's not like 0-100. So there's still like roughly that balance. It probably ranges maybe between 20 and 50%, depending on the thing. And if I have a more Bitcoin focused product, people are more psyched to pay in Bitcoin.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Like I said, it's difficult for me, to accept Bitcoin. It's very worthwhile and I'm like very happy to do it, but it's not as like, oh, you just click the different checkout option. So it'd be interesting to hear another business like Sote's, what their spread is timing wise, just because they're going to have better analytics on it. The thing is like we all, Bitcoin is at 126, right? And we all kind of have that in our head, like, oh man, this was worth so much more then. Now it's worth like 30% less. And so we have that in our head as this is like, that's what Bitcoin should have been worth. And now it's not worth that.
Yeah.
And any, like, even if you're up 10,000X, a little 10% drawdown makes you feel a lot poorer because you remember the highest point you ever got. And that's your relative point. And we all know we're going higher, but like, along the road, we kind of anchor to each new high price and want to spend there. And so it's really it really changes the spending habits of Bitcoiners. Granted, everyone's got different money in Bitcoin, different time in Bitcoin. but mm-hmm. I think we're all pretty susceptible to those price swings and just our human dynamics within that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And totally agree with what you're saying. Like, oh no, it should, or it was this price. So like, it's kind of annoying. And that's the human element of it all, that like, even though like we know, like, quote, we know that it'll just always go higher and higher, all the math points to that, all the logic points to that, like, et cetera, et cetera. But there's always that lingering potential creeping of like, oh no, what if it doesn't? But I guess it's just being human and having, I don't know, emotions and feelings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, you kind of, you have, well, I know I'm like super small in the niche of like living in the Bitcoin standard, sort of having no fiat whatsoever. So, and as long as you live profitably, you know, spend less than you make, living on the Bitcoin standard without like having a lot of responsibilities. I'm single, you know, don't have any debt, so it's great. But like, I'm forced to always spend the Bitcoin or sell it $4 to pay credit card bills, you know, via Strike. But I never really think about it too much, like versus paying, you know, in dollars versus paying in Bitcoin, because I don't have the option. It's all Bitcoin. But I totally understand for some people that emotions could play a role in wanting to spend it more towards the top or when it's higher than lower to get, I guess, more, well, less sats per dollar, more dollars per sat, I guess, even though it doesn't really, you know, math that way. But super cool. And then,
yeah, you're definitely in the minority, and there's an increasing amount of people doing that. I haven't had any fiat savings since 2021. Unfortunately, okay. I went all in at the top, and thus have been kind of forcibly all in Bitcoin continuously ever since, because every dollar I've had has gone towards paying expenses, because I haven't wanted to sell Bitcoin at a loss, right? I've spent it for, you know, all different businesses. Like, when I meet a Bitcoiner who's selling a Bitcoin product, like, fuck yeah, I'm going to spend Bitcoin. But at the random coffee shop that happens to accept Bitcoin that brings it to fiat, I'm a little bit less motivated, because I don't spend and replace. I don't, like, my sats that I get is what I have, and I'm trying to like just keep that aside as much as possible and float on the fiat income that I have.
Oh, okay. So I guess for your business then is where you would have fiat savings to potentially fund.
Yeah. The distinction I'm making is, like, obviously I have fiat coming in. It's just basically continuously earmarked for some expense already as soon as I get it.
Okay. That makes sense. And then I guess just one final question, we'll wrap up soon, is in general, like, what effect has Bitcoin had on your business and like just accepting it and being a Bitcoin business in terms of, like, I'm assuming 5 years ago, you would never have assumed or never have thought you'd be in this current position. So I guess, do you have any thoughts on the journey that it's been with Bitcoin? And I guess on a personal level, if you want, but I guess in terms of your business and just how impactful it's been and should continue to be.
Yeah, I don't really preach number go up at all when it comes to the business perspective, because number go up has completely not helped me at all until like the last year. I was below my, Bitcoin was above my cost basis. Or sorry, Bitcoin was below my cost basis for the majority of my time in Bitcoin. And I'm only here because I did the research and felt the conviction. And what continued helping me was meeting other Bitcoiners, meeting people in the Bitcoin community, and the drive, the conviction, the positivity, the relentlessness, and the support to other Bitcoin members of the community. So, you know, I really had the conviction at the bottom, but what really helped me was people were spending Bitcoin, Bitcoiners were buying my wine at the bottom and helping me survive realistically, because that was some dark times financially, going down 80% when you're all in.
Yeah, sure.
And you have business debt hanging over the head. So I preach Bitcoiners more than Bitcoin. And when you have a high quality product and you understand Bitcoin to a degree, at least, like, you are ripe for this customer base. of amazing people who are dying for new ways to spend their Bitcoin on high quality goods. So like, I appreciate it as like, yeah, when you speak to a business owner, you're like, yeah, you can make some money, but it's also, it's not like a predatory relationship at all, because Bitcoiners are like, no, I want every business to accept Bitcoin. I want Bitcoin to be the money, and I will put my energy and drive and support that. So it's a positive feedback loop where the best business owners, the people who make good products that Bitcoiners want to buy, will flourish, and Bitcoiners kind of just work to make that happen. So I've seen it personally. I'm a small node, I'm a small data point, but seeing the bigger businesses, like, I mean, bigger businesses than me as far as bigger D2C plays, and then Steak and Shake being the massive example, have been super heartening to see that it's like, no, it's not just me. It's not just me experiencing the positivity of Bitcoiners, the support of Bitcoiners. It's actually pervasive, and everything I've seen is stuff other businesses can jump into and really benefit from. And Bitcoiners benefit the same way, because they want to support Bitcoin businesses. They want high quality products. And when they vote with their money by purchasing from these businesses, more of the businesses producing the goods they want to exist in the world continues to flourish. So
yeah,
it's slow, and you don't feel like every purchase makes a huge difference, but it really does in aggregate. And it's innate in the Bitcoin world to make small changes to change the world. And it's really felt, I mean, every business that I talk to that implements Bitcoin in some way really seems to get a boost. I don't know, like, price appreciation has been great the past couple of years, but for a little while it's been below my cost basis. So now it's great, but I'm still holding on to that Bitcoin. I'm not utilizing it in a massive way, because it's like, I still think we have so much higher to go. So it's an awesome treasury, and I think it'll pay off in the future. But as far as like the value of Bitcoin affecting my business, it's been pretty minimal. It's nice to have right now, but it's not like life-changing at all. Granted, I haven't seen a massive run-up in my time in Bitcoin, and I timed my buys poorly. So it's really Bitcoiners that make a huge difference to businesses. And Bitcoin, the asset, is just an added bonus.
Okay. I totally get that. And whenever I do stumble upon a place that accepts Bitcoin, when that happens rarely, but now, you know, obviously it's becoming more common, I always make sure I tell them, like, hey, I specifically came here because you accept Bitcoin. And I told that to the coffee shop. I told them, like tell the owner, like, I was definitely probably the first person to spend Bitcoin on their new Square stuff. But I told them, like, tell the owner that, like, you now have a new customer because you're accepting Bitcoin. And like, I'll That's probably go there at least once a week.
Even if I, like, it's hard to quantify, especially the people who go there for that reason, but spend dollars. And so any touch point is great, because there's going to be a small amount of people spending Bitcoin at each of these businesses to start. And so the vocal, I'm actually here for this, them hearing that is super valuable, because in the numbers, it might not seem that big, and they might think, it's not that worth it. But the more people expressing that and making sure people know, or like, you know, the people always ask me, like, how to orange pill a business. And the only thing I can tell them, outside of like, now it's easy, is you have to become their best customer. You have to become a regular, otherwise they don't care about you. You're just another person. And yes, you can be another data point, and it's great. And that what you're doing is the best kind of data point. You're spending Bitcoin and you're telling them that's why you're there. But ultimately, to really affect change and push your message further in the, like, I want this business really to succeed because of Bitcoin, it's becoming a good customer, showing them, not telling them that you're in it for Bitcoin. And telling them is valuable, but showing that, but like, my best, I leaned into Bitcoin so much harder as a business because my best customers were Bitcoiners.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes total sense. And I guess if I could ask you one last question, not Bitcoin question, but one that I don't think I did it the last time, but something I want to do every guest is, what is something that makes you lose track of time? And don't say Bitcoin.
Um, the things that I guess I was really into skiing and mountain biking, a lot of like solo adventure sports before I got into Bitcoin and before I got into making wine. And a lot of the winemaking slash running a solo business has taken the joy out of solo sports for me. And so whenever I'm working with a team, just doing something as a collective, I get super fired up and just want to go, go, go. And so that's with a new show that I'm starting called Soak Quest, primarily on Noster, but on all different feeds, where we're talking to other Bitcoin businesses, trying to spread that message and just have these conversations like I'm telling you about. I lose track of time there and get fired up. And then realistically, it's pick up basketball and pick up soccer every week are the things that I look forward to most.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. I admittedly still need to check out Soak Quest, but I will be doing that. I'll subscribe for sure. Because yeah, obviously another Bitcoin podcast and want to support your work. And it seems like a cool show. Great. Well, thanks so much, Ben. Is there anywhere you'd like to send anybody, or put stuff in the description, but anywhere in particular?
Growing Soak Quest. So follow Soak Quest anywhere. It's more of a show. We're trying to do a lot more visual than podcast and make it worth your while to actually look at a phone or the Rumble for 5 minutes. And then I sell wine at peonylanewine.com and am pretty active on Twitter and Noster at Ben Justman. And just reach out if you have any questions about wine or want some recommendations or just want to learn about it, touch base, whatever it is. I'm pretty available.
Great. I'll put all those in the description. And to everyone listening, yeah, check out Peony Lane Wine. It's North America's highest altitude winery and vineyard. And the quality is exceptional, and it's super good wine. And if you're like kind of a Napa Valley snob, I'm sure you might have judgment. But after you taste it, you'll definitely be humbled, I'm sure, from some good Colorado wine. Great. Well, thanks so much, Ben. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.